We are back with another episode of the Analyst Interviews today, sitting down with former Roundball Stew host Matt Straup. That's how I know him. So we'll find out what he's been doing the last couple of years. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Basketball Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. We are back doing the final episode of the analyst interviews for this season. I will bring him straight in, Matt Straup. How are you, Matt? It's been, have we ever done a show together on my show? I feel like I was probably on your show at least once.
Yeah. Good to see you, by the way, Adam. Yeah, you came on my show, right? I don't think I've ever been on your show, I'm going to say. We've crossed paths many times, but I don't think I have ever come on your show, so I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you said in advance it's the last one so that I don't think that I accidentally ended the series with a bunch of horrendous answers. So.
Well, saving the best till last. Let's say that.
Okay. That works.
Make us both feel good. So, yes, it is the last episode. Recording ahead of time, but that's what I've done with both of them. So, as I said, former host of Roundball Stew, and mm-hmm. you were there in Roto World or NBC when a few people left, yourself, Jonas, yes. Ryan Knaus, Dr. A, and everyone's sort of doing their own thing now. But so I guess for you, because to me, you're a fantasy guy, and that's how I was introduced to you, and that's how we sort of came to cross paths. So what was your journey getting into the fantasy world, I guess, playing fantasy basketball or fantasy sports and then moving into media?
Yeah, so I gotta take us back a frightening amount of time to tell you this story. I mean, I started playing fantasy basketball, I think, in the late 1990s. I could tell mm-hmm. you that I had one of the worst rosters ever assembled, that first fantasy team that I put together. It was embarrassingly bad. I was a big NBA fan, but I didn't know how to play fantasy. So I assembled it was a disaster. But I thought it was fantastic when I drafted it, you know, I was like, this is going to be the greatest fantasy squad ever. And it was truly awful. But, so I don't know. We'll fast forward a number of years. I mean, I was just an avid fantasy player. I wasted way too much time on it, or spent too much time on it, like most of these listeners to your show probably do. And I was a full-time staff employee at NBC Sports and NBC Olympics going back to 2003. I had a job mm-hmm. which was called Olympic Researcher. I will give you the very short version of that, which is that I get sent around the world to scout the Olympics for NBC. So I would travel to just like a ski jumping event or like team handball and like go interview the athletes and learn their backstories. So that was my day job. Okay. And then we fast forward to like 2000, I want to say 6 or 7, and NBC acquired this company called Roto World. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden I was sitting down the hall from people like Greg Rosenthal. I don't know if you remember Greg or your listeners do, but obviously he was huge at Roto World and he's moved on to big things. But at some point Greg was talking sports and it was like, oh, you're a basketball guy. Like, do you want to write something for Roto World? So I basically started writing some blurbs, some basketball blurbs. And then at some point it came to like, hey, come up with an idea for a column. We have space for a basketball column this season. Mm-hmm. And I brainstormed many, many bad column names. And eventually I said to Greg, hey, what about Roundball Stew? And he said, I like it. And so I started writing a column called Roundball Stew in October of 2008. I wrote it for mm-hmm. a very long time. It eventually became the name of a podcast that I hosted as well.
It did.
I'll stop there so that you can follow up.
No. And so... So obviously, your journey is a little bit different in that you were already in the sports space and then yeah. fantasy came second. Whereas for a lot of people uh-huh. that I've interviewed and worked with, it's the other way around. They sort of got into fantasy right. and started doing fantasy stuff, and that led to other opportunities. So I'm assuming that if that was sort of your job to begin with, that was the plan, I suppose, for you. Is like you went to college. Is that sort of what you studied? And was that always the plan to get into sports?
No, I almost went to law school. I was all set to go to law school. I come from a family of lawyers, and I was ready okay. to continue the family tradition. And then I took the LSAT, I applied to law school, I got in, and then I was like, wait a second, what am I doing here? And like, so I just kind of had a revelation that I wanted to work in sports. So yeah, I made a real hard pivot. I think my family yeah. was a little bit alarmed, but yeah, so I was working in sports full time. I'm probably a strange case in the fantasy world where like it was just one of the hats I was wearing. It mm. wasn't like my full-time thing, even though I spent a lot of time on it and was really into it. It was just kind of something I did as part of my job, which yeah. is kind of weird. Like I was mostly, I was getting paid to cover the Olympics for NBC. I was a yeah. TV, Olympic TV writer, writing for Talking Heads at the Olympics. Yeah. And that's still what I do to some extent, but yeah, so.
Okay. And so you're still playing fantasy to mm-hmm. some degree, but yes, as I said, a couple of years ago, some changes went down at yep. NBC, and so they're still doing the fantasy basketball stuff, but yourself along with a couple others moved away from that, and so yeah. was that sort of, I guess, as simple as you just dropping that element of what you do and then focusing again on the Olympics, or did you have to? Did you have some time to kill when you stopped doing that?
Yeah.
So you picked up
yeah.
some other stuff.
So I was full-time at NBC Sports / NBC Olympics for 15 years until 2018. And I moved mm-hmm. back to my hometown of Atlanta, where I am now. And at that time, I left that job. And I was just... So when I was working for Roto World or NBC Sports Edge or whatever you wanted to call it over those years, I was doing so as a freelancer. So yeah. the last, I don't know, 5 years, whatever. The last thing I hosted, I think, was the end of 22. So yeah. at that time, I'm a freelancer. So yeah, it was just kind of one thing that was no longer on my plate. Mm-hmm. It was less time running to get to a live stream than I was accustomed to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so since that time, I was telling you before we came on here, I've thought about, do I want to get back into hosting fantasy stuff? And I haven't really closed that door officially. But I also haven't been like trying that hard to run back through it. So I don't know. Yeah. I've just kind of, yeah. Dr. A, my former, who you mentioned, my friend and former colleague, like he and I talked about launching a podcast a number of times and it just didn't quite come to fruition
yeah.
yet, I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so you're not doing the fantasy stuff now. And you did mention mm-hmm. to me just before we came on the air that you worked on the Olympics, the recent Olympics, mm-hmm. which finished up, I don't know, when did they finish? 2-3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, I have no, I completely blacked out. I have no idea, but apparently
it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that sort of just what you're doing again now? Olympics are just your focus. And so you'll now start traveling around for the next few years doing your research for the Olympics in Los Angeles?
No. So I did that job of Olympic researcher till about 2008. Then I kind of became like staff writer on the TV side for NBC mm-hmm. Olympics. And so I was kind of, I would go to the Olympics and like I said, write for one of the studio hosts. And that's what I was doing this time around. I was writing on NBC's primetime show, writing for Mike Tirico. And I was doing so from Connecticut. Mm-hmm. while the Olympics were going on in Paris. I've done 9 Olympics and I've been to 8 of them. So this was the first time I actually wasn't in the host city. Mm-hmm. So it was a different experience, but yeah, it was an awesome Olympics. So I don't think I answered your question though, which was what am I doing other than that? I spent most of the last 4 or 5 years actually working in the podcast world on a sports podcast. Mm-hmm. It was called The Lead. It was a collaboration between The Athletic, which you've probably heard of, and a podcast company called Wondery Media. And it was like a daily sports podcast featuring a guest from The Athletic. Mm-hmm. It was like a sports kind of storytelling podcast. And We made 900 plus episodes of that show, and that rode off into the sunset earlier this year. So, yeah, but that was a good time as well. So, a combination basically of podcast hosting, producing, and TV writing is the answer. Yeah.
Okay. And look, I guess, I mean, one of the questions that I normally ask this, and I always jump out of order. So I'm going to sort of segue into the question regarding vacations, favorite spots, because a lot of people haven't traveled that much. You have, having been to 8 Olympics, you've obviously been around the world. So, I guess from a, with both a professional hat on and a personal hat on, have you got favorite locations around the world, or even just in the United States that you've been to? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Olympic cities I've been to in order were Athens, Torino, Italy, Beijing, Vancouver, London, Sochi in Russia, Rio in Brazil, Pyeongchang in South Korea. Out of those, I mean, my best experience out of all of those was Vancouver. It was incredible. I was a blogger for NBCOlympics.com at that time, and I got to go to a bunch of live events. I saw Shaun White win the half pipe in person. That was amazing. So I have very fond memories of Vancouver. As far as places to go, man, I think I would be happy to go anywhere that I can get a rum punch. Is that a good answer?
That's a good answer.
I went to Belize one time, and I think I drank all of the rum punch in the general vicinity of where I was staying.
Someone's gonna drink it.
I love visiting California. I have family in New York City. I lived in New York City for 17 years, so I love going back there as well. I probably could tell you more, but that's the short answer.
And from a personal perspective, like, is there a holiday spot that you like when you're not working and you do get some time, some downtime, somewhere that you like to go just to get away and have a break?
Yeah, we get down to the beach in Florida with a couple times a year with the family, with the wife and kids. Yeah. That's a good time. Like I said, I have friends in California, so I love going out there. I have a good friend who lives in Santa Cruz in Northern California. That's a pretty fantastic spot to go visit. And yeah, you know, I've been pretty horrible. Like, I have two kids and we're not the best about traveling. I got to be honest. I mean, my kids have traveled some, but we kind of got to get on it and like plan some more like big destination stuff. It's hard. You're a dad. You understand.
It is hard, and time gets away from you too. And there's sort of like a, I feel like there's a sweet spot when traveling with kids is sort of the ideal time. Because if you go when they're really young, which, I mean, we did a little bit of traveling when the kids were young, but you sort of think, well, they're not going to remember it necessarily. And what are they getting out of the trip? But then if you wait too long, they're teenagers and they don't want to be hanging out with mum and dad for 2 or 3 weeks straight, and they miss their friends and stuff. So there is a sweet spot, I think, of where is the best time to travel.
Yeah, the sweet spot is about 30 minutes long. I think the sweet spot, you've got about 30 minutes.
Yeah. We're actually about to head off in Australia, but the other side of Australia. So it's about a 5-hour flight. So which that'll be okay, but we went to Europe last year, and the kids, that was a bit of a wake up for them in terms of they thought the track, because they sort of, they'd never been on a plane for 20 hours, and so we sort of told them, you get all the food is free, you get to TV is free, movies are free, and so they were very excited. But as you know, when you get on a plane, you can only eat so much and you can only watch so much. So, it was an eye-opening experience, I think, for both of them.
No doubt. I got to say, I didn't say this, and I've been meaning to say this. The place I really want to go that I haven't been, and I'm not kidding, is Australia. I really want to get there.
It's so good. I mean, I can vouch for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard.
2032, the Olympics are here.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're still doing Olympic stuff, and
yeah,
I'll definitely be at the Olympics. I've got a few friends that live in Brisbane, so up north from me where the Olympics are going to be. I've already hit up everyone that I know and reserved a room for 2032.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'll definitely be there in watching as much as I can. And yes, look, Australia is, well, I would assume a great place to visit, very big. So, I mean, it's like the US, I guess, in that you can only do little bits of it. You can't come.
Right.
It's not like going to Europe where you can almost do a country in a week kind of thing, because they're so small, a lot of them. Most people in Australia haven't seen probably a quarter of the country. So, yeah, there is a lot to see, but certainly a lot of good stuff. So,
all right. I'm going to hit you up and you can tell me where to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can. I've been around, so I can give you some pointers.
Good deal.
So you mentioned like not traveling as much as you probably should with your family. So what does family life look like for you? You mentioned you've got a couple of kids and a wife. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how you've been married? Was this someone you've known your whole life kind of thing, or someone you met later in life? How did that come about?
You know, I actually, so we've been married for, I'm checking my watch, 13 years. We both grew up in Atlanta. We both went to college in the state of Rhode Island, but we never knew each other at either spot until we met, you know, in our 20s. We met in our 20s. Yeah. I was in my late 20s. So it was kind of weird. We kind of traveled in like adjacent parallel circles, I guess you could say. Like I've always said, I would pay a lot of money for the technology that shows me the times that we may have been in the same, you know, restaurant or something growing up, or, you know, because there's so many close calls between people we know and things like that. And so, it's kind of weird that we went to college in the same city and grew up in a different city, but didn't know each other. So I guess we were bound to meet at some point. I have two kids one of them is pretty into sports, including baseball. And as we speak, I'm leaving for baseball practice right after this. So, we're deep.
Yep.
We're already into baseball season here. So,
yeah, I know. Cause I do a show with Dan Vesperus on his network as well. So sort of going back and forth with him a little bit, and he's often out at baseball, doing baseball stuff, which, I mean, baseball is nothing over here. I don't know anyone that plays baseball. It's not. It exists. We baseball is played here, but it's not a sport that kids play like over there. I think we have. Well, you have an NFL as well, so I know a lot of kids would grow up playing football. For us, it's, well, I mean, what would you say if you had to? It's hard to pick one, but if you had to pick a sport that is the most popular in terms of young kids, what would it be over there?
Man, I think it partially depends where you live, but some places it's going to be soccer. Some places it's going to be football, American football. Some places it's going to be basketball. Some places it's going to be baseball. And I think that and then there's some places it's probably hockey, you know, or lacrosse. There's a pretty wide range of what kids play here, but I feel like for my son, it's kind of basketball, baseball, soccer. Okay. He wants to play everything, but it's kind of impossible to fit it all in. So,
I think it's soccer here. Probably. And then we've got, our football, so rugby league, which is sort of and Australian rules football, which is very big over here. Cricket, which is very big over here. So we've got a few, and basketball would slot in there as well. And I know here obviously there's a lot in the media and that sort of thing the last 10 years about head injuries and concussions and all of that, the risks that come with playing those contact sports. And so I think we're seeing more and more kids playing, especially at that young age, a non-contact sport or modified versions of contact sports. So I don't know if with American football, when for the younger kids, is there a modified version where there isn't as much contact?
Well, yeah, there's, I mean, you can play flag football, for example.
Okay.
And there are like, I don't know that that's so much done like at the school level, but there are like, there's definitely at least one flag football league around us that we almost played in, but didn't quite get our act together this year. But yeah, that's in the pipeline as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've done travel. We've done family. Mm-hmm. Let's go to food because I'm hungry at the moment. Okay. So let's talk about food. Favorite food. Do you have one?
I mean, I find that I will eat a taco almost literally any hour of the day.
Okay.
So I would say that any taco of any kind.
Okay.
And if it's accompanied by a margarita, that's fine too. That would
any
not
time
be
any of day time for of the day. Margarita as well.
No. We gotta be a little. We're not on vacation here, Adam. You know what I mean. We gotta be. There are rules. Can't have one of those at any time. I do have a flexible work schedule. Can't have one of those at any time. Usually it's got to be 5 o'clock or later, or five o'clock somewhere in order to pour a margarita. Those are the rules.
That's a fair rule.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, is tacos too vague?
No. Look, is that something that you grew up eating or just something you sort of, when you're an adult and you can make your own choices about food, you went down that path and have just stuck on it?
Yeah. There's a lot of good food in general where I live. I mean, I think that's true where most people live nowadays, but I just feel like the taco options are pretty ubiquitous and I've never not wanted one. You know what I mean? Okay. I feel like there's enough variety, you know, in terms of the shells, in terms of the fillings, in terms of the salsas. You can get a breakfast taco. You can get any kind, anything can go in there. It's great. So that's it right there.
Tacos. Okay. And would that flow over to things like burritos and things like that, or it's specifically a taco?
It would, but I find the burrito to be a little more dangerous in terms of if you're trying to accomplish anything on a given day, once you go to the burrito portion, you're virtually guaranteed a nap, especially if it happens in the middle of the day. You can maybe portion out a taco situation to where you are not immediately going to go to sleep for 45 minutes, right? Yeah. Like two tacos at my age, you might be all right. But the burrito is a guaranteed. And especially, I mean, most burritos are like rugby ball sized these days.
Yes.
You know, a sport that you guys play, or football sized here. So I will eat a burrito, but it's almost got to be like, you know what? This afternoon is kind of shot anyways. So let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah. So I think, so I was in the States last year and I did a show with, when I was with Rhett Bauer talking, or Jake Madison? No, I was talking with Jake Madison. So he's a host of a Pelicans podcast and does a lot of work with the Pelicans. So I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and I actually met up with him when I was in New Orleans last year. And my friend and I were there. We found a place called Juan's Flying Burrito, and I asked him about it because we stumbled across it when we were just out and about, and it was the biggest burrito I've ever seen or ever eaten. And you're right, it was almost the size of a football. But it was, we sort of got it. We thought, oh, this is massive, but what's it going to taste like? And it was also the best burrito I've ever had. And you were right, because we had a couple of beers with it. We then walked back to our apartment where we were staying and basically fell asleep.
It's over. It's over. Yeah. I'm glad you made it back to where you were staying. I would have probably fallen asleep on the way back.
It wasn't far. We were lucky. It was only about a 5 to 10 minute walk. So that was my first exposure to an American burrito. And so by the sounds of things, that's not uncommon for them to be that size.
Not uncommon. And you said that was in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just there and you just reminded me of the other food I feel like at this point I could eat anytime, which is, I hope you had some gumbo while you were there.
I did. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could have gumbo. I mean, I'm not going to have it for breakfast, but starting at like 11 a.m., I could, if it was available.
Yeah, that was one of the things, like going, we tried to pick places that had food different to what we eat here. And I knew New Orleans had the gumbo, and we found a spot actually on Bourbon Street. And we got gumbo, and we had it twice. I had it somewhere else while we were there as well. And yeah, it was very, very good. Just exactly as I expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So food. All right. So last thing, really only ask this because anyone that follows me or listens to me knows that I like TV. I like movies. Do you have time? Mm-hmm. Like is watching a movie, is that something that you get to do? Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite movie, a favorite genre, anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do watch movies. I think it's kind of a mix. Like it's a combo between like shows and movies these days for me. But I do, I do make time for it. I still watch a lot of sports, but I try to watch other stuff too. And thinking about this, I mean, I watch either comedies. Okay, I love comedies, and I love really dark stuff as well. I don't really watch anything in between. You know what I mean? Like a really suspenseful, like dark murder mystery or a comedy. Those are the only things I want these days. I don't know why. I don't know what that says about me as a human, but those are the two. It's one or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't always figure it out. Sometimes I'll be hovering over like a comedy, and then I'll switch over. And it's hard to make choices. But as far as like a favorite movie goes, I think that the one that I could give you a lot here, but the one that I always come back to that has been at least in like my top 5 to 10 for ever since it came out, because it combines the two things that I seem to seek out the most, is a movie. And I hope you've seen this, called Zombieland.
I have.
Okay. Okay. Yep. I don't know what your feelings are about this movie, but to me, it's like, it's very rewatchable. I'm not saying it's my favorite movie ever, or even at the moment. It's just, it's always up there for me. I hold it in high regard because it's both funny and, you know, has the, I don't know, zombie element as well.
So both of them? Do you like both of the zombie lambs or just the first one?
I've only seen the second one, I think, twice. I did enjoy it, but I didn't feel like it was really on the same level. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. The first one really kind of was so different, especially when I first saw it. It stood out. It was so different, and it had such a distinct voice, you know? And like, I don't know. I saw that movie and I was like, yes, this is perfect. The second one's fine. Like I could rewatch it if it was on. Sure. That's fine. I like the characters, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I do like them. I have both of them. Anything that has any horror element, I know they're not horror movies, but they have that element. So anything that has that, I generally have that in my collection. So yes, I've seen both of them. And I think I know that they. I mean, as you said, it sort of created a new, well, not a new genre, but it did. It was a little bit different to what had come out previously, and they have tried to replicate that, I feel like, with a couple of movies since, just different movies. And one that I did like that was somewhat similar was the Army of the Dead, the Netflix version that they did.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm trying to place whether I've seen this.
Yeah. So it's got. I know Dave Bautista is in it. The wrestler slash actor, or actor slash wrestler now, I guess.
Right.
So he's in it.
From Guardians of the Galaxy, as we know him.
Yes. Yep. So and it was done by Army of the Dead. It was done by. Zack Snyder, that's why I like Zack Snyder movies. So he made a Netflix version of Army of the Dead in 2021, and then made a follow up called Army of Thieves, which was really good as well.
Okay, Well, this was productive because I just added it to my list of things to watch. In fact, it looks like I started it one time, and then I have a whole. There's just my viewing history is littered with things I watched for 7 minutes and then fell asleep. That it's not a knock on the thing if I fall asleep, you know. So we're gonna get back
too
to
many
it.
Burritos. I think. So.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. But I mean, other than that, I would say, and I just generally gravitate to like any comedy from the early 2000s. Like some of those iconic comedies are just still really, I hold them in very high regard. Movies like Old School and Anchorman and things like that.
On my show that I do with Dan Bethurst and Dan Titus and Dan Paglio, between two Dans over on his network, we actually had and it's sort of a round table kind of a show, and we do both fantasy stuff and just whatever we want to talk about. Last week we actually talked about our favorite Will Ferrell movie. And so Old School was someone's, I think. I can't remember. I think it was Dan Titus, maybe it was Old School, but we talked about Step Brothers as well was in that discussion. Great. Night at the Roxbury, sort of his first, shift.
No Anchorman, though. No Anchorman.
Was mentioned, yeah. I mean, it was hard for us to nail down one movie. Like my favorite role of his, not his favorite, my favorite movie, but my favorite role was in Wedding Crashers, where he plays Chaz, the funeral Amazing. Crasher. it's certainly a time that I can relate to because I love all the movies from that era as well.
Yeah. Kind of interesting though. Old School is such an ensemble movie. I don't even think of it as a Will Ferrell movie, if that makes sense. Like I just think of the movie at large, and he happens to be in it. If that makes sense, it may not.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no, it does. It does. You wouldn't say he's the main character. He's
right.
A main character, and I guess probably the most memorable in terms of Frank the Tank, and like there's
does steal like 20 scenes in that movie. By the way, that movie, the last time I watched it was probably a couple years ago, but I distinctly had the feeling of. There is not one dud of a scene in this entire movie. Like every single scene in this thing has something that you would not want to fast forward past, which is pretty amazing. There's like no throwaway scenes in that movie.
No. And to me, like talking of favorite movies, what's a favorite movie? I mean, I have movies that are my favorites, but I wouldn't necessarily go back and watch them over and over and over again. So I think it's the question is sort of, how do you what do you interpret as favorite movie? Is it the movie that you just think it was a really good movie, or is it a movie that you just find yourself watching over and over and over and
right?
I have those movies as well, which are just basically constantly on in the cycle of what I'm watching.
Yeah, it's kind of like sometimes you watch a movie and you'll be like, wow, what an incredible achievement that was. That movie was fantastic. I never have to watch that again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's a different experience.
It is. All right, well, I'm going to let you go and do your baseball stuff, and I'm going to go and, I haven't seen my daughter come out yet. I don't know if she's going to school today. She's a bit sick, so we'll see.
Looking at our different timelines in play here. Evening for me, morning for you. That's how it works.
It is. That's right. Now, you're not really super active on Twitter or anything anymore.
I'm not. I am on Twitter. I'm on there a lot. I will see something if you post it, but I have not. I don't really post things. Mm. I used to. But I am on there at Matt Straub. You can find me.
And so if people do want to, check out your work or anything, like where can they go to find out what you're doing and follow along?
Man, well, I had a few months ago, I had two podcasts I could have promoted right now. And I no longer have those because they both got canceled. Not because they were bad. I just want to be clear. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say follow me on Twitter. If there are big announcements, I'll post something there.
Yep. Okay.
I won't tell you about stuff I'm doing behind the scenes. Like I won't tell you that I'm going to work on the Olympics. But if there's something big where you can actually find me in front of a microphone or something like that, I will let you know.
All right. very good. And look, we might even be able to get you back on a fantasy show at some point.
All right. Let's talk. You've got my info. Okay.
I do. I'm trying to get Jonas on as well, but he's sort of moved away from the fantasy space as well. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'll try and we'll hopefully get you back on my show or with me and Dan Vesperus or something during the season. But thanks again for fitting me into your busy afternoon schedule and jumping on. It took a while, but we got there.
Yeah, for sure. No, this was fun. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone watching along. As I said, this was the last episode of the analyst interviews. I've already got about 8 lined up for next year. So there will be a season 3, barring any significant changes in my schedule and my life. So look forward to doing that. But you can check out my regular show, Balls Deep, which by the time this comes out, I'll probably be doing 4 episodes a week, as well as between 2 Dans over on the Old Man Squad Network. Remember to like and subscribe, do all of that stuff. Helps us build our brand. But thanks, Matt, for jumping on. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.